I think there's a group of people out in the hallway that were so excited about networking that they started without us. So I'll just get started. So today I'm going to talk to you about a system that was built across four institutions for a distributed system to control large-scale networks. As you can see, this paper took a lot of people to write. As you may not be able to see, I am not at the front of that list. And so I'll do my best to fill in for the place of the first author. But if you have any really hard questions, I suggest you write them down and mail them to this address. Okay. So let's start off with a little background about traditional networking. Usually in networking, you have this switch or router box, and inside that box is a routing table called a forwarding plane. And what happens with this forwarding plane is that packets come in on some port in the box. The routing plane makes some decision about, or the forwarding plane makes some decision about where to send it, and it sends it out some port on the box. Now, also inside the same box is a control plane, and that control plane is exchanging reachability information with other switches and routers that it's connected to decide how to program that forwarding plane to decide where packets go when they come into the system. And the problem with coupling the forwarding and control planes like this is that if you want to make a change to the control plane, it requires, it's actually very difficult to do. A recent success story is the Trill protocol, which took about 6 years to go from idea to actually deployment, because you have to convince all these routing, or these, you know, networking vendors to deploy this in their box, and everyone has to buy new equipment, et cetera. So over the last couple of years, there's been a concept arising in the community that I'm going to call the software-defined networking. It's got a lot of different names. But basically, we take that control plane, and because this isn't on the critical path of the network forwarding, we can actually move that out of the switch router. Am I on? Okay. Out of the switch router and run it as software on a control server that's just running on commodity hardware somewhere alongside your network. And that control server can talk via some management protocol to the switch router in order to program that forwarding plane to make decisions however it wants to. So it would send down forwarding table entries or table or tunnel configuration, et cetera, to the switch router. And then the router would send back information about new flows that are coming into the router, port status information, et cetera. And then the fast path of routing proceeds as usual, where packets go in, and then the program state inside the forwarding plane makes a decision about where to send the packets. And this is good for a lot of reasons. For one thing, this control server can actually talk to many switches at the same time, so you end up sort of centralizing your control logic in one box. So you don't, instead of having to design this distributed algorithm that runs across a bunch of switches, you can write it in one place and program a bunch of switches from a centralized location. Of course, there's a problem with this, too. So let me go through a very simple example. It's sort of a toy example. It's been around for a while, but it's an ARP server. So in a standard L2 Ethernet network, you can't really scale that very far, partly because of ARP broadcasts. So what happens is if a host on the network wants to find out the MAC address of a certain IP address it knows about on the network, it will send out an ARP request to the switch it's connected to. And that switch will broadcast it to all the other switches and hosts in the network in order to find the host with that IP address, and then it'll broadcast the reply back so that it reaches the original host. Of course, as you're adding switches and hosts to the network and it grows and grows, the broadcast is going to scale linearly with the number of elements in your network, and eventually, as you have all the hosts doing these ARP requests, you're going to hose your network with these broadcasts. So the idea is, instead of doing that, to have a centralized place to store these IP address mappings that we call an ARP server, and the ARP server will be able to program those switches to say, instead of broadcasting the ARP packet, unicast it directly to me. I will have the mappings, I will send you back the mappings, unicast, and we don't have to bother the rest of the network with these ARP broadcasts. Of course, now this becomes a centralized point of failure in the network and a performance bottleneck potentially as you keep growing the network. So what ends up happening in a production network is that you're actually going to have to turn this ARP server into a distributed system. You no longer have this place of nice place of centralized control that the SDN SDN model gives you in the first place. You actually have to turn this into a distributed system. And that's really the contribution of our work in Onyx, is looking at this, looking at building an SDN platform as a distributed system to make it easy to build these kind of scalable control planes for large networks. So to place Onyx in context, Onyx is a piece of software. It's a library that runs on several different commodity control servers running alongside your network. And on top of that library, application developers can develop control logic programs that use Onyx to talk to the physical infrastructure through some management connectivity infrastructure. So the key contributions of Onyx are thinking about this centralized control logic as a distributed system to give more power to the developers to write scalable control planes. And we give a bunch of tools to these developers. We call them application developers. That's the term we use for programs built on top of Onyx. We give them a simple general API that they can use to program the network. Alongside this, they have flexible state distribution mechanisms, so they can make whatever sort of trade-offs they want in terms of distributing the state. And we also provide flexible scaling and reliability mechanisms to give them the power to build a true distributed system. And this is actually a production quality system for large networks. It's actually going into real products very soon. So first, let me talk about some of the challenges we face when designing Onyx and the design of the platform from the view of the developer. So there are a lot of challenges we wanted to meet when we were writing Onyx. The first was to make it as general as possible, so anybody writing any type of network control application can use Onyx to do it instead of writing their own way of distributing state and handling failures and all of that stuff. We need to make it scalable, and by that I mean we don't want Onyx itself to be the bottleneck in terms of controlling the network. We want that to be inherent sort of in the network itself instead. We need this to be reliable so that it can handle failures gracefully of both the network elements and of other Onyx servers. We need it to be simple so that managing the network and writing these applications is simpler than writing the distributed algorithms that people had to do before. And we need it to perform well enough to be able to handle networks at scale. I'm not going to talk about performance in this talk at all. You can see the paper for a lot of graphs. I'm going to focus instead on the generality and the reliability and the simplicity of the system. So the API that we provide to the users is actually the simplest one that we can come up with, and that's literally a representation of the physical network in terms of an actual graph. So each of these entities, each of these nodes in the graph that we provide through the API to the user represents some physical entity. And they could represent logical entities, but I'm not going to go over that in this talk. So one of these nodes in the graph might be some particular forwarding engine that exists in your network somewhere. And that forwarding engine will have a port on it, and that port might be connected to some end host that your control application cares about. Now, each of these nodes is actually an object that you can call methods on inside of Onyx. And so, for example, the forwarding engine would have methods like writing a new flow entry to the forwarding engine, listing all the ports on it, and then the application can register for any updates that happen to the forwarding engine so that if something changes in the physical network about a port status or something like that, it will get synchronously or asynchronously notified to the application. And they can take action if they want. And we refer to this graph of elements as the NIB, or the network information base. And you can think of this as sort of a rib, except for the entire network topology. And the NIB is really the only thing that the application cares about when the developer cares about when he's programming the system. So you have Onyx running as a library in the box. Inside of Onyx is this NIB graph. And the application can just directly manipulate the NIB and then get notifications back from Onyx when the NIB changes externally to the system. And then what Onyx does is it takes care of talking to all of the switches in the network and other Onyx instances. So if something changes on the switches or something changes in some other Onyx node running somewhere, that will get imported through Onyx into the NIB. They'll make changes to the NIB, and then the application will be notified that changes have been made. The same thing works for exporting. If the control logic makes some local changes to the NIB, Onyx will figure out how to translate those changes to the external elements and export that information to the relevant entity in the network. So how might this work in the case of actually talking to a switch? Well, there are a bunch of different protocols that we can use. One that we use now is called OpenFlow, and it's it allows you to write flow entries to the switch and inspect packets as they come in as much as you want. And so what happens is the control logic still only talks to the NIB, and then there's what we call an import-export module sitting below the NIB that's listening for changes. And if they see changes that are relevant to one of the switches in the network, it will translate that into some sort of open flow action and send that out to the connection that it already has to the switch. And of course, the control server can be talking to many switches at once, and it'll figure out which switch is the relevant one for this change in the nib and send it to the right switch. You have this big bucket of state that's called the nib, and you need a way to distribute that not only to the switches but also to all the other servers in the network. And we need to do that in a flexible way so that application developers can make whatever kind of trade-offs they want. And so different applications might want to have different policies for their data depending on what trade-offs they want to make. And even within an application, you might want different policies for different data. For example, you might want data that's very stable but critical to the system to have strong consistency and be very durable, whereas state that's more dynamic and can tolerate inconsistency more can maybe be in an eventual consistency, more lightweight storage system. And for this, Onyx provides two built-in storage options, and the application can write as many more as they like. And the first one is a replicated transactional storage with a SQL interface that's used for strongly consistent data. And then we also have a one-hop memory-based DHT that's for data that needs less durability but can be eventually consistent. And so going back to our ARP server example, the switch topology, the actual physical network topology, might be hard state because it's hard to learn that. But it's relatively static. You're not adding new switches very often. So that can be stored in hard state in the SQL database and be durable. However, the IP to MAC mappings might be changing a lot. And in any case, there's soft state that can be relearned through gratuitous ARPs, gratuitous periodic ARPs from the hosts. So those can change rapidly. So you might want to store them in the DHT for better performance. And the way this works is very similar to the switch protocol I talked about earlier. Initially, when the applications configure Onyx at the beginning, they say which types of data they want to go to which types of storage layers, and they can provide their own storage layers if they want. But during the runtime, they only interact with the nib, and they make changes directly to the nib objects or call methods directly on the nib objects. And what Onyx does is it looks at this pre-done configuration and says, okay, there's a change to the network. This data should be exported to the DHT. I'm going to do a put into my DHT through this import-export module that's living under the nib. And then if it's supposed to be more strongly consistent, it can send it out to the SQL database and do a transaction to the database. The same thing happens with imports. Both the DHT and the SQL database have triggers. And so if you see that something changed in the DHT, you could do a get from the DHT, push it, modify the nib as appropriate, and then the control logic will get notified that something changed in the nib. And then the same thing for selects in the database. Of course, these distributed storage layers don't give you anything in terms of coordination by themselves. It would be easy to write an application that has multiple writers for the same piece of data because you're just interacting with the nib and there's no notion of distribution really inherent in the nib itself. So Onyx also provides direct integration with the ZooKeeper protocol, the ZooKeeper system, and applications can use that to build their own leader election and failover or distributed locking or barriers on top of Onyx so that they can coordinate which nodes are responsible for which pieces of data in the network and only have a single writer at a time if that's what they want. And all this data distribution is great, but it also needs to be scalable and reliable at the same time. So I'm going to talk about some techniques and some tools that we expose to the application that they can use to make these scaling and reliability trade-offs. And what this whole problem really boils down to is somehow managing this distributed state that's going across many different switches and across some number of Onyx instances that you use to scale out your control plane. Now, each control application is going to want different trade-offs. And one example of that is, switches have to have connections to these Onyx instances in order to be managed by them. So you could have every switch connect every Onyx instance. And that means that if one of the Onyx nodes fails, you'll have fast, reliable failover to any of the other Onyx nodes in the network. However, that's not going to scale for very long because you have each Onyx node is going to have to maintain these TCP connections to all the underlying switches. So instead, you can choose to have the switches connect to only a subset of Onyx instances, which is potentially less reliable, but it leads to higher scalability to bigger networks. And the way that scaling is done in traditional networks has been well known for a long time, and there's basically two tricks that networking uses to scale traditional networks. Protocols can either partition their state, so for example, VLANs, will slice the physical network into subnetworks, or MPLS will have an edge router that manages only a subset of tunnels in the network. Or you can aggregate information together to reduce the fidelity, but it makes it easier to send this information across the network to the other parts of the control plane. So for example, IP addressing, you route only on prefix. Not every router in the internet knows about every IPv4 address, obviously. So it routes to a prefix, and then that prefix routes to better and better fidelities. And then ATM routing, routers only expose limited fidelity for the routing area that they're responsible for to the other routers. So we can actually use these two techniques in Onyx and expose them to the developers in different ways so they can decide how to scale their own networks as appropriate for their application. For partitioning, we have a couple different ways we expose this to the applications. You can have different Onyx instances in charge of different tasks of the network. For example, one node is responsible for half the network, the other node is responsible for the other half of the network. And you can coordinate this using the ZooKeeper coordination system that I talked about earlier. Onyxes can also, they don't have to have the full nib in the network. If the size of the nib is too big to keep in memory on one node, or if the state is changing too rapidly for any node to keep up with all the updates, you can have them only keep a subset of the nib locally. And then, like I said before, switches can connect to only a subset of the Onyx instances, and that subset is application defined. So for our ARP server example, the naive approach might be to have every switch connect to one single ARP server that has the entire list of IP, has the entire table of IP to MAC listings in it. But that might not be scalable enough for you, so you can have the switches connect to the different ARP servers. They can all have their own subsets of the IP MAC table, and they can share that to each other horizontally in this graph. Furthermore, if a particular ARP server is only in charge of a particular subset of the network, we can actually partition the nib across these different ARP servers so that each one is only keeps some subset of the nib locally, and then together they can coordinate how to resolve these ARP requests. So for aggregation, we basically use the same trick that something like ATM uses, where we allow the applications to reduce the fidelity of information before they share it to other Onyx instances in the cluster. So in sort of an example, I'm going to shoehorn into our ARP server example. Say you want to keep track of the number of hosts and the average uptime of every host hanging off of each switch in your network. So if you do that, each node in your DIP graph is going to have some data associated with it, the number of hosts and the average uptime of those hosts that are hanging off of each switch. Now, if these things are changing rapidly, say there's you're hosting a lot of VMs in the network, they're going up and down, the average uptime is changing like crazy, the number of nodes is changing like crazy, this might be too much information for any one Onyx instance to keep up with. So you might partition the network such that each Onyx node is only responsible for a subset of the network, and then as they're exporting that data to the other nodes in Onyx, it would actually reduce the fidelity and present some average of the information to the other nodes. So they still have some picture of the entire network and the statistics in the network, but they don't have the full feed of information that's available about some subset of the network. And finally, reliability. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but there are a couple different types of failures that you might be interested in how Onyx applications can deal with. First, we have network element and link failures, and this is really the responsibility of the application to decide how to do this. Because, that's really what the control plane is trying to do, is if there's a failure in the network with a switch or a link or a port, it has to decide how to route around that. And that's really what the application is responsible for. You can imagine connectivity infrastructures in the network that connects the Onyx instances to the physical infrastructure. Now, a lot of big networks will have a separate management backbone that Onyx can use to manage these networks. And so it's very unlikely that there'll be a failure in both the management network and the production network at the same time. But even if you want to be very careful about this, you can have a multipathing protocol inside the management backbone to make sure that failures don't affect Onyx's connectivity to the physical network. And finally, and maybe more interesting, is the what happens when an Onyx node fails. And this, again, is up to the application to decide what they want to do. But we provide all the tools for them to discover when a node goes down and to coordinate among themselves who will take over the responsibilities of that node using ZooKeeper or some other mechanism that they want to use. So now I'm going to talk about briefly about the implementation of Onyx, and then how we can actually use Onyx to implement some cool stuff that maybe wasn't possible before. So the Onyx implementation is pretty big. It's 150,000 lines of C++ code, Python, and Java, and developers can actually write their applications in any one of these languages, whatever they're most comfortable with. This has been worked on by about 15 developers across three different institutions, and it's actually in quality assurance testing at these institutions, and will be deployed in several products in the upcoming few months or year. So let me go briefly. I won't go into a lot of details about these, but we have about four, or I want to talk about four applications that we built on top of Onyx. There are some more in the paper. The first is an implementation of Ethane, which is an enterprise security solution that allows network administrators to configure security policies from one central location, and that will affect all of the nodes in the network, all the switches in the network. And because Onyx is actually involved in every time a new flow comes through the network, Onyx has to decide what the security properties associated with that flow are. You actually have a pretty heavy load coming to Onyx, so you need to use this distribution property to run multiple Onyx instances to handle the full flow setup load for your network. And there's information that's coming in too quickly for one node to handle, such as the location of hosts in the network and the link status of each link in the network. And so you can share that information over the DHT rather than just using one particular storage layer like the SQL database. Another application is a distributed virtual switch, which allows centralized management of virtual switches that are running on top of hypervisors that might be that you might be managing, say, to run a cloud. And this allows for a centralized place for a network administrator to write security and QoS policies enforced as VMs move around the network. And in this instance, Onyx actually isn't involved in the flow setup. It's able to push all the states statically down to the virtual switches, so new flows don't go all the way up to Onyx. And so in this instance, we can get away with only having a single instance of Onyx and having a cold standby for a failover if something happens. Another application might be a multi-tenant virtualized data center. And in this application, you'd have a data center, say, hosting a cloud, and this would be made up of hypervisors, and on each hypervisor, you'd host VMs for a number of different tenants that are paying the data center to host their VMs. And those what those tenants really want is the illusion that they have the entire data center to themselves. So what you could do with Onyx is provide each of these tenants with their own L2 network by configuring the switches in a certain way to have tunnels. And this gives them the illusion that they can address their nodes however they like without worrying about conflicting with other tenants, and they can have resource guarantees on the network as if they were the only ones using their network. And what this comes down to in Onyx is managing a vast amount of tunnels, and there can be so many tunnels in some of these data centers that this will require partitioning the NIB so that not every node in the network has the full NIB, and also partitioning the set of management tasks so that different nodes manage different parts of the network. And finally, a scale-out IP router, where you can imagine taking a bunch of physical switches, aggregating their information together so that they look like they're one virtual switch that has an L2 table, an L3 table, an ACL table, and ports on it, et cetera. And then you can manage that virtual switch with existing routing software, like a BGP stack like Quagga. And Onyx will translate those operations that the routing stack's doing and figure out which switch it goes to. And then you can just add physical switches to increase the capacity of your network. I want to place this in the context of related work briefly. Obviously, there's been a lot of great related work in the networking community over the last maybe 5 to 7 years, and we build on a lot of that. There's been a lot of work on separating the control plane from the data plane, extensible forwarding planes, different flexible data center architectures, and these are all great, and we drew inspiration from all of these. But what Onyx is really focused on is turning this idea of a software-defined networking into a distributed system, and focusing on the scalability, reliability, and generality to give the application developers what they need to build the production quality control plane. So in conclusion, Onyx really solves the state distribution problem for developers, and it frees the developers from having to worry about these low-level mechanisms of actually communicating with the switches and sharing state between the Onyx instances. And it gives the applications developers the freedom to think about this at a very high level using the principles and tools of distributed systems rather than having to design these distributed algorithms that get deployed on all the switches in the network. I want to emphasize again, this is a real system. It's not a research prototype. It's actually in quality assurance testing at several companies. All right, I will be happy to take your questions as long as they're simple. Thank you.
Hello, Marco Cuni, PFL. So this is kind of interesting work, and I'm trying to understand how to see it. You've been talking about applications, and my background is networking. What do you mean by applications? You mean one particular kind of routing that you could use your network, or something more high level? And if you have multiple applications, how do they share a single Onyx, say, instance, to coexist? Also, what is the implication at the level of routing? So this is the second question. I don't see sort of an integration with the routing, but...
With integration with what?
Sorry. With routing layer.
Right.
So how do packets get forwarded, and how do you have packets, messages being exchanged with the Onyx controller?
Okay. So for your first question, we actually envision only one type of routing protocol to be running within Onyx in a given network setup. So by application, we mean some program that manipulates the NIP graph in such a way that it sets up the routing for the way that the application developer wants. So they'll have some sort of routing protocol in mind, and they'll be able to write a program in a centralized way, just as a piece of software, rather than as a distributed algorithm. We don't envision different routing protocols coexisting on the same network. For your second question, how does the forwarding layer get programmed by the application? There's a couple of different protocols that you can use. One big one that we use is OpenFlow. And so basically the switch itself becomes very dumb, and it only accepts these messages over the OpenFlow protocol, which is just a TCP connection to the controller. And that over that protocol, you can say, I want to write this entry into the forwarding table. And that forwarding table gets written as a TCAM or something on that switch. And then as the packets come in, it just uses that TCAM to decide where to switch the packets.
But at the network layer, are you still running a routing protocol? Like when I start up all the switches and all the Onyx systems, how do they route packets in the first place? How do they set up TCP connections if there is no routing?
It depends on how you configure it. You can have the switches so that they don't do anything until they connect to the controller, and then the controller tells them exactly how to program their thing. Or you can have some default configuration when the switches come up that has a learning bridge on it or something like that.
Okay.
It really depends on your application.
So you need some sort of network-level support from at the beginning, and then...
You need configuration support at the very beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Harshit Chitalia, UC San Diego. I had a question regarding the OpsServer implementation. So as I understand, like the first time the host will broadcast to the OpsServer, and the OpsServer will cache those entries, right?
Yeah.
So now how do you then refresh the op cache at the host? Like after that, I think you were just doing unicast. So how does the op cache get refreshed at the... So you need to do broadcast again after some time, right? Or you don't do the broadcast at all?
Yeah, so... Well, I should say that we didn't actually build this example. It was just an illustrator for the talk, so I haven't worked out all the details. But
okay.
And I'm also not an expert on this, but I imagine there are gratuitous ARPs being sent out by the host periodically. The host themselves will be wanting to refresh their ARP tables, right? So they'll be sending out ARP requests that will get pushed up to the ARP server. I don't know. If that doesn't make any sense, we can talk about it offline, but
okay.
It's not
Thank
a real application for us.
Thank you.
Eddie Kohler, UCLA, Meraki. I guess I have two questions, but you can answer either one of them. One of them is, in terms of the implementation, what's your favorite trick or hack that you think some of us might be able to reuse in a different system? And the other one would be, if you had to do the system again, what might you do differently?
I feel like this is an interview question. My favorite. I mean, I'm a distributed systems guy, so I really like. I really like the fact that just the distribution is hidden under the nib in the application. You know, you have to understand the system at a distributed system level, but you don't really have to actually do the mechanisms. It's all hidden from you, and so I like the fact that you can basically switch out any storage layer and write your own if you want to without having to change the application program. I mean, that's not really a hack. It's sort of inherent in the system, but I can't think of anything right now. And that's the one I will answer. Thank you.